for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, August the 31st, 2018. Randy Ritchie is the speaker of this service, teaching on spiritual order.
Has the Lord blessed anybody so far?
Yeah.
Is anybody excited about Jesus?
Yeah.
It gets better. You know, these things are progressive. When you come to these events in which the kingdom of God advances, you get layer by layer by layer of things taken out, taken off, truth coming in, lies being destroyed. Okay? It should be progressive. I talked last night a little bit about faces that have been here that came in looking one way and they look different now than they used to. But we literally see this happen on the course of a few days. And you've got to go out and slay your own giants. You get that? You know that this battle is what we do, and the job of every minister of the gospel, is to get problems introduced to the solution. The solution is Jesus. The solution is the Holy Spirit. The solution is understanding your son and daughtership with the Lord, and coming into covenant with God. And when you receive that and you begin to walk in it, you can go and start conquering your own promised land. Well, listen to me. The promised land isn't heaven. That's the reward at the end of the day. And I can tell you why. Heaven doesn't have giants in it. There's not going to be any giants to slay when you're promoted. That deal is done. Death, the ultimate enemy, is swallowed up in victory because of what the Lord has did. But your own land, Israel, listen to me. There's a lot of people who want to live and ignore the Old Testament. That's foolish.
True.
Foolish. It's one book. One complete book. Whole first book talking about a people that God pulled out and made covenant with one man to bring in the Savior. And it's their story. And the Bible says they're an example for us. We need to read and learn. And I promise you, if you go look at Israel, when they obeyed, I told you last night, we talked about Deuteronomy 27-28 and the blessings and the curses. And when they obeyed, and when they had no mixture, and when they said, we're just going to worship the Lord, and they did what the Lord said, they were undefeatable. They never officially cast Yahweh aside. They just brought in other gods. They just brought in other gods. Here was the temple. They're still doing their sacrifices. And here they are. Listen, in Ezekiel, you can read about Ezekiel being transported into the temple. And he went in the outer court. And there were women weeping and breaking bread to the Queen of Heaven, weeping for Tammuz. Well, the Queen of Heaven is Semiramis, Nimrod's wife. Tammuz was the son. It is a false trinity. Nimrod, Tammuz, Semiramis. Tammuz was killed and then supposedly resurrected. It's a story. And Osiris died, came back. Osiris was married to his sister who was his mama. You can figure that one out. But here is Ezekiel carried into the temple, and here's this going on in the outer court. And on the walls of the temple were unclean images. I don't know what unclean images there were, but they might have been frogs, and they might have been pigs, and they might have been serpents, and they might have been lizards. Anybody ever seen a S-O-V-E drink? Sobe? Seen those lizards? Yin and yang in the form of lizards. Right there, unclean. Okay? Unclean images. But these were on, not that that's the temple, but these were on the wall of the temple. And then he went into the inner court, and there were elders of Israel. And I believe the number was 7. That's the rulership, the government number of the ruling council of God that he had for Israel. And they were worshiping the sun. And all the while, the Holy of Holies was still there. The mixture was there. God took, listen to me, if you're feeling sleepy now, fight that enemy. I'm just telling you, just fight. I don't care if people go to sleep. It doesn't bother me, but I don't want you to miss anything.
You want us to fall off the window?
I don't know. No. But listen, I know this shift here is the one that hurts because everybody doesn't come back. So especially if you got up early in the morning and you went and ate, all right? And listen, this is a time, no matter who's here, you want to fight. You want to fight. And I've seen the enemy. I've been here. I've been in those seats, and I've been in a place where I've never been sleepy anywhere else, and I'd sit in these seats, and all of a sudden, because the devil's trying to put it on you. I rebuke every spirit of slumber in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for your goodness. So here's Israel. And they're in this mess. And God sent prophet after prophet after prophet. Israel and Judah. And Judah. Because you see, they split. You got two nations there. So some of those prophets were to Israel. Some of them were to Judah. When you read Kings and Chronicles. Fascinating writings in there. You're going to see it. That's where you read about what God did with Elijah. That's where you read about what God did with Elisha. That's where you see some of the miracles and the amazing things God did to destroy the enemy on their behalf. And to take those men and warn them. One man, one prophet, Isaiah, had to run around in his underwear. How would that be? You want to be that kind of prophet? How about Ezekiel had to lay on his side for a year, and he had to. There's a thing called Ezekiel bread. You can buy some in the store today. It's great bread, actually. And God gave him a recipe to sustain him for that year. And he was told originally he had to cook it over human poop. And he said, "Oh God, I've got nothing unclean. Why would you make?" And then Lord relented and let him do it over cow poop. Okay, that's what he had to do. And the next was Hosea. There's others, but I'm going to speak of these three. Hosea had to marry a prostitute, an unrepentant prostitute, and be left publicly, and then go back and get her. And he did that, all of those things, as an example to Israel, as God was trying to warn them. He was trying to warn them, "You've been unfaithful, but I love you," in Hosea. In Isaiah, he's saying, "Well, you're going to be stripped naked. It's going to be like you're publicly exposed because you won't repent of your sin." And in Ezekiel, he's saying, "There's a famine coming, and you're going to be crippled." And he warned them because he loved them. He loved them. And I promise you, he deals the same with us as he dealt with them. We can come through the blood of Jesus and be repentant and live and prosper in our soul. Prosper in hell. Have peace with God. You know, one of the most important things that happened for you in your salvation is you got peace with God. The most important thing. You ain't at peace with God, nothing else works. Nothing. Then peace with yourself. If you don't have peace with God, you'll never have peace with yourself. And if you're at war with yourself, there's probably people in this room that are in perpetual war with yourself. And I present to you, you'll never win that battle. You're never going to win that battle. You just got to accept you and take you to Jesus and say, "Clean me up, Lord. Here I am." And then there's peace with all who be at peace with you. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from all of them. If it possible, be at peace with all men, for without holiness no man shall see God. See, listen, you try to make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Conversely, cursed would the troublemakers be. Now, one is Scripture. The other one is got to be the opposite. You're either blessed or cursed. So, are you a peacemaker or are you a troublemaker? Alright, look what God says about feet that run to mischief. See, it's one of the things He hates. It's an abomination. So, we're to try to be peacemakers with whoever will be at peace with you. You do your part. If a person won't be at peace, then you just give them to God and don't let them control you. Okay? So let's remember that you've got examples there, examples how to war. And so then Lord took all of those examples for us, and He brought Jesus along to deliver the complete cleansing available, to deliver. It's not just an atonement. The animals atone for you. The animals covered your sin. They were a shadow of the one to come who would wipe them out. Amen? But you got to file your case in the court with repentance. First of all, in your first repentance is, oh God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I recognize I'm in trouble. And I need You and I love You and I want You. Here I am, Lord. And then in your daily life, listen, be quick. I'm going to say it again. I said it yesterday. Be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Okay? Repent for yourself. Forgive others. Amen? Y'all receive that?
Yeah.
All right. And we want you to leave out of here better than you came. That the ground that God has for you to take, your territory, listen, what are you made out of? What are you made out of? I need a loud voice to tell me what we're made out of.
Dirt.
Dust. We're made out of dirt. This battle, if you'll think of it, is for territory. Who are you going to let live in your dirt? Your this body, a dirt body with some water in it that has a spirit. Who's gonna rule? Is it going to be the Lord? Is it going to be the enemy? So listen, there are people that are born again. I want you to hear this. You're born again, going to heaven, converted. You're changed. The old man is gone, passed away. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? But just because you're born again doesn't mean the enemy doesn't have some operational control of areas of your soul. Because you're three parts. I'm going to show you this. But we're three parts. We're spirit, soul, and body. So when you're born again, the Holy Ghost comes and lives in what you could call the equivalent of your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. The equivalent of the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, is the spirit of man. And that's where the Holy Spirit resides. The outer court is your body. How many know your body's still getting old? Has it quit? Are you still aging? Does it still hurt when you stump your toe? If you're still cussing, as the man said, you might have a few cuss demons you need to get out from under your lips. Okay? Listen, you don't praise a God. When something happens, you're going to praise a God. You're either going to praise the Most High God, or you're going to praise one of those low gods that He created. So when you're cussing, you're giving them glory. When you're praising Him. So if I stub my toe, I say, oh, Jesus, help me. See? I'll tell you, I was a cusser's cusser. A man named Wim Worley, his statement was, he said, some of you, I heard him say, he said, some of you, when you got saved, you lost 80% of your vocabulary. 80%. That's good. He said, but then you hit your thumb with a hammer, and here comes 80% of it back. There's some things we might need to lose. Amen? Now we're going to talk about spiritual order and perhaps a few other things, time permit, and see what God will show us. Spirit, soul, and body. I want to go back to that. Boy, I'll go off the rat trail here. Spirit, soul, and body. So you, human spirit, Holy Spirit comes and saves there. You're redeemed, sealed with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Mark of God. You've got this human body. We can pray some things and live right and delay some things. But in the normal course of time, we're going to die. Okay? Because that's the original curse on the earth. And that's it. Listen, we're going to die in this body in order to live eternally with the Lord if we're born again. Thank you, Father. Okay? Or hell if we're not. But then you've got your soul to deal with. Your soul. Mind. Your thinker. Sometimes we've got stinking thinking we need to check up from the neck up. Okay? We need attitudes adjustments. Okay? But the mind, will, what you choose to do, and emotions, they're not redeemed. There's a promise of that one day. Holy Spirit's your promise of the fullness of redemption. That means glorious, glorified, new body, and a mind that will truly have the mind of Christ. That's our promise. In the meantime, we have to renew this mind. You've got to take what the world has said to you. You've got to take what people have said to you. You've got to take your own stinking thinking and cast that out and replace that with what God says in His Word. And the level of your victory is determined by how much you choose to believe God and how much you're willing to take everything that's not of God and cast it down in favor of what the Lord says. Spiritual order. Man is made in the image of God. I just read this, but here it is. Three separate parts. Let me stop a minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this teaching. I thank you that you impart it to the people. I thank you that my tongue will be as a pen of a ready writer. I thank you that these people, your children, your sheep, and your pasture have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say unto them. I thank you, Lord, they have eyes to see what you would show them. I bind the enemy in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the anointing that would destroy the yokes. I thank you, Father, I'm saying to you, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I can't do this without you. If you weren't here, I might as well not be. And so, Lord, I thank you. All glory and honor and praise to you. I bind the enemy. I bind all destruction. I bind all distraction. I bind all fear. In the name of Jesus, I bind every religious spirit. In the name of Jesus. Religious spirits that take God's people one way into legalism, another way into hyper-grace. And I bind every spirit of deception in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for your counsel, the full counsel of God. Let it come forth from my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're three separate beings, three separate parts, but one being. Like our Creator, we are three in one with each part different, but inseparable from the whole. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, scripture here. And may the God of peace Himself sanctify you, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blamelessly at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody who wants that, say, let it be, Lord.
Let it be, Lord.
Body, soul, spirit. My pointer's not working, but for the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, your body, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God. That tells you right there that there's a place that our soul and spirit are separate. We're one, but separate. There are people, and I'm going to say this as a sidebar, through witchcraft, through ritual, through inheritance, have opened up what is called the third eye in the occultic realm. The eye of Horus, the eye of Seth, the all-seeing eye. It can be done by drugs. If you've been in here and you've done a certain types of drugs and maybe enough, perhaps you've had what the world would call hallucinations. You've seen demons. You open the third eye. It's not supposed to be open. You're not supposed to see it. There are people that come out of that, come out of the world and even inherited things, and they become born again. And they're truly born again, but they're seeing into the spirit realm all the time, every day, seeing this demon on this person, seeing this on that person. Well, listen, we need to pray. Close the third eyes. Stop that. Put it back in the order God has put it in. Okay? Now, some people don't want to get rid of that because they're acclaimed for it. And people think it's a gift from God. And they're praised for it. And they're given false prophecies. And they might even give a real one and then turn around and give a false one. And they might pray in tongues and then they could pray in a demonic tongue. Okay? There's real, there's counterfeit. But it's real simple. If you're serious with God, you close the third eye. Close it. You ask God to close it. You cast the demons out that opened it. You repent for what did it. Okay? And because here's the deal. The just live by faith. If we could see everything that goes on, we wouldn't need any faith to see God's glorious angels in the competition. Would we? His angels are mighty. They would be amazing. They're glorious. They mop up the enemy when we agree with God. They mop them up. It wouldn't take any faith to see what would happen when you do that. But let me tell you something. Father, I just thank you for your angels that are in this room now, that you have sent them. We've prayed. You have sent them. I thank you, Father, by faith. I know you sent whatever is needed. However many of your warriors are needed to do what you want to accomplish today. And I thank you, Lord, that you would use your warriors to punish the enemy today. In the name of Jesus. To break down and destroy every argument against the truth of the knowledge of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just live by faith. There are lots of people trying to get to the third heaven because they saw that Paul was carried to the third heaven. That they saw John was carried to the third heaven. But the Bible says we're already seated in heavenly places with him. I don't have to journey anywhere. I'm here. We're here on a journey. We're here to do what he's called us to do here. Now, if God wants to snatch you up and take you to third heaven, enjoy the ride. But don't be trying to go. Because what's going to happen and what does happen to people is they keep seeking that experience and they end up in the second heaven and they get a fallen angel of light experience and they get deceived. Okay? So we want to just be real and let God be God. To just live by faith. This, if God wants to come in here and knock us all out, you know, he doesn't listen. There are so many things that most are slain in the spirit. Listen. Listen, God's going to put you, if he comes and his manifest presence comes and he's going to knock you down, you're going to be on your face repenting. Yes. Everyone that had that encounter with him fell on their face repenting. Repenting. Yes. But I can promise you the devil's got power. Listen, Jesus said many are coming. Many antichrists are coming. And there's going to be many coming. There's one antichrist. But there's some beings that are going to show up and they're going to do some signs and wonders and yes. People are going to be amazed.
Yes.
And they're going to be fooled. Even the elect will be fooled if possible. Yes. So know that. So, everybody who will, say, Father.
Father.
I want to live by faith.
I want to live by faith.
Because that's what the just do. So in the name of Jesus,
I repent.
For me.
Me.
And my ancestors.
Anybody in my
bloodline.
Anybody
whose bloodline I'm married into. Or adopted into. Whose words. Deeds. In ritual. And drug use. Open the third eye. That I would see into the spirit realm. That I would hear things that are not from you. Even those things that imitate you. I reject them. I ask you, Lord, to close the third eye. To close the eye of Horus. The all-seeing eye. The eye of Seth. By any name. I command. Those spirits to leave me now. In Jesus' name. I receive from you, Lord, every good and perfect gift, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I renounce every counterfeit spirit in Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath. Let them go. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus, all counterfeit tongues go. In the name of Jesus, all counterfeit prophecy, all witchcraft prophecy, I break your power, clairvoyance. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. They will know things only by an unction of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, and I break the power of the familiar spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. So man, made in the image of God. One of the ways to understand people sometimes have a hard time grasping the Trinity. Okay? How does that work? How can he be three? How can it be one? And there are even some in the world that are perhaps not born again, and they're not born again in other religions that think we're paganistic because we believe there's three in one. Well, we don't have three gods, we have one. But he's three. Okay? So it's the human body was body, soul, and spirit. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are three in one. You can't take your body away and still be here. If your soul goes, you're gone. If the spirit returns to God, you're out of here. You cannot be unless you're one. Well, God is one. And so if we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, then look at this is a pattern here for the temple in the both the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple of God as built in Jerusalem. And you had an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Three in one. If you took any part of that away, it's no longer the totality of one. Okay? We are a spirit. We have a soul. This is the mind, will, and emotions. We live in a body. By the way, when your body's gone, it's your vehicle to live here on this earth. And I'm going to tell you, in the purpose of the resurrection, well, Jesus' resurrection is our promise that we will be too. Alright? But in order to be on this earth legally, you have to have a body. A human body. So in the millennial reign, what's coming after Christ returns, at the end of the terrible times to come, and the Lord returns to set up His kingdom, the dead in Christ are going to rise. Those that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet Him. Okay? Different parts of the body of Christ argue about different deals. If you ask me my opinion, mine is it's at the end. You know, you got liberty to believe what you want. But listen, one day we're going to be changed in a twinkle of an eye. One day. It's going to be a great day. And the dead are going to rise. And we're going to join the Lord. But then He says He's coming back with tens of thousands of His saints in the book of Jude. He's coming back to judge. He's going to reign and rule and set up His kingdom. And if you have to be born again and you're on this side and you get resurrected, you're going to reign and rule with Christ. But you have to have a body to do it. The souls of man are already in heaven. If you read the book of Revelation, John's up there. He's getting a tour of heaven. He says, who are these? He said, these are the souls of the ones that kept their robes clean in the great tribulation and kept the testimony of Jesus and obeyed Him. See? They're there, but they're going to get their body. And they're going to come, and we're going to reign and rule with the Lord. But it ain't going to be this kind of body that hurts when you stub your toe. And you'll never think about cussing again. Thank you, Lord. Amen? Say, Lord. That'll be a glorious day. Worth fighting for. Amen? So here's what a life in order looks like. So you can see the fiery darts of the enemy. How many have ever had fiery darts? Everybody? Oh. We don't have to deal with the lion teaching today. We all get it. Right? I said yesterday, and I'm going to say it again, because if you don't hear this, along with quick to forgive and quick to repent, you've got to respond to the fiery darts. And you're going to have to respond out of your mouth. If you just absorb them, I'm just going to give you an analogy. And I'm going to tell you what a fiery dart can be. So it can be a temptation. It can be a manipulation of emotions. It's unholy. It can be the enemy speaking to you, speaking words to you, to demean you, to destroy you. How about the one, go over and slap him. He deserves it. Fiery dart. Doesn't even have to be you. It only becomes you when you agree with it. And then you give place to the enemy. But everyone you don't respond to, here's the analogy. If I took a bow and arrow and I had a flame of fire there and I put the end of that arrow in fire and you were 20 feet away from me and I took that bow and arrow and I drew it back and I let it go, what would happen to you if you didn't move? What would happen? It would stick. And that's what happens when you don't respond to fiery darts. You give place to the enemy. So Paul, praise God for Paul. Praise God for the instruction that he gave us, because he gave us the scripture up here, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, about our weapons and casting out the vain imaginations as you go down from 10:4. And then he gave us the full armor of God, including the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. But you've got to respond. If you don't respond, your life's not going to change. Stop. And you'll be in the same cycle over and over and over, wondering why deliverance didn't work for you. God doesn't fail, but we've got to resist the enemy. So you can do it. And listen, what happens? Listen. So, you know, once you begin to practice this, it becomes a lifestyle. And Lord, there might be times right now you might have to lift your shield and swing that sword 48 times a day, or whatever that number may be. And then one day it can get to the point where it's two or three times. You might have a day where it's a really a warfare day. Then you have other days. And you're just doing it as response. I want you to hear this. Our focus is not on demons.
Amen.
We deal with demons. Our focus, our adoration, is on the Lord. The Lord is good. He's kind. His mercy endures forever. His mercy's renewed every morning. Our focus is on His goodness. He has spared us. He paid a great price. We need to thank Him. We need to be aware that He's with you and He's for you and He's not against you. But then when something comes along that isn't right, that's from the devil, you deal with it in the authority of the Lord. When you see other people hurting, some of them you may be called to minister to directly. Some of them you're just called to pray. What if an ambulance goes down the road? What about those people? Does God love them? Right? So is there something from the devil involved in that ambulance? Okay? Sure there is. So why not? Father, I just bind everything going on there of the enemy. Ask You to invade that. If they know You, comfort them and show them Your glory, Lord. If they don't know You, save their soul through this. Right? Just, and that's warfare. And we should do it. Fiery darts have to be responded to. When you're living for the Lord, quick to repent, quick to forgive, believe in God, following His instructions, living by His grace, not legalism either. Okay? And when I say legalism, that doesn't mean we don't want to be obedient. But if all you're doing is checking a list to see how good you are, you're going to fall. And if all you're doing is calling yourself, I ain't doing nothing right, I must be trash. Well, you already fall. Huh? It's falling. That's terrible thinking. How can we demean the price the Lord has paid? He paid a great price. Your born-again spirit, where the Lord lives, always agrees with God. People will talk about feeding their spirit, and, you know, that's okay. You know, feed the spirit, feed the flesh. Listen, we do sow unto the spirit. We sow unto the spirit by renewing this mind. It's your agreement in your soul. Your spirit man already agrees with God. Holy Spirit's indwelt there. They're one. He already agrees. Your spirit man agrees with God. The deal is, you got to get your soul in agreement. And the soul in agreement is a choice of the human will. You take in what God gives you as knowledge about His Word, what the Holy Spirit brings, and you choose to believe God. Your soul must be transformed. The Word tells us to renew ourselves, to renew our minds. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Your body, that's that part, listen. If you got diabetes and you're eating donuts every day, it's hurting you bad. The enemy's just trying to kill you with donuts.
Yeah.
Literally. Pick something. How's he trying to destroy you? I'm going to give you a very simple analogy. A very simple way to look at things. Whatever the devil's trying to get you to do, do the opposite. Whatever it is. If you're afraid to do something, push through and do it. If you're trying to be angry, be nice. If you're trying to be lustful, be holy. Whatever he's trying to get you to do, do the opposite. And dominate him. Because you can't. And that's, listen, and when you're dominating him, when you're refusing to do something, when you justifiably, by human terms, could return, do you know what they said to me? Did you hear that? And instead of firing back, you're saying, God bless them. God, I give them to you. I ask you to forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You have just offered your body as a living sacrifice to God. And it gets better and better. And we're not done until the day of redemption. But it can get better and better and better. So here's what a life of disorder looks like. You see, the blood covering isn't quite all the way there. Because you're living in a place where you're not in doing in agreement with God. Holy Spirit is being ignored. So your fiery darts are now hitting your soul. They're hitting your body. Your soul is in a place of carnal thinking. According to Romans, you're sowing to the flesh and therefore sowing unto death. Your body is ruling you. And it's not being crucified. So sickness is, as Sister talked about, when her back was hurting and she went through. You know, Lord knows. Listen, we sin, we know we sin. And sometimes they're going, Lord, what did I do? But repentance is the path to freedom. Repentance is the path to healing. So why not just talk to God? See, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Jerry said she went through and went through everything about the back and repented and got healed. Do you know who gave her the inspiration to do that? It was the Lord. It was the Lord. He taught her. You know why He taught her? He loves her. You know why He taught her? He loves her, and she has a forum to share that with others who He loves. So He did that. Taught her how. Your born-again spirit will be suppressed. Suppressed. In favor of the flesh. Look at your spirit. Before we're born again, we have a spirit that is dead. The spirit of man without God cannot understand spiritual things from God. 1 Corinthians 2, 11, 12, and 14. For who among men knows the things of man except the spirit of man within him? So also no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. But we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit from God. So we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Say, Lord, thank you for your spirit.
Thank you, Spirit.
That I might know
what
you've
freely given me.
The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. John 4 and 24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and truth. So, you know, I talked about legalism and hyper grace and all that. So you got one place over here where people are in the letter of the law, period. No Holy Spirit, no love of God, just the letter. It cuts, it hurts, it wounds. Okay? And it doesn't grow anybody. But then over here is another place called hyper grace where everything's okay. It's okay to sin. It's covered. The grace is there. No, it's not. Grace is there to help you live right. Grace is there to clean you up when you run to God and say, I've blown it. It's never there to sin. So right here, somewhere in the middle, is spirit and truth. The truth of God, period. But infused with the love of God by the power of the Holy Ghost. Spirit and in truth. God says those that worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. I'm going to present it to you. There's sometimes you're just singing a song. Sometimes you're giving something to God. And that's something you're giving Him, He put in you. And if you didn't have it in you, you couldn't even give it back to Him. See? It's Him flowing through you back to Him. And He receives that offering. And when we enter into that place, it changes your life. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 1, 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you. Listen, when we're born again, the war just began. It just began. Listen, the enemy, there was a one-sided war before. Listen, I'm just going to say this to you. You know, there's a stream of life, and only live things flow upstream. Okay? Only live things. So dead things just float along down the river. And the whole world is being swept down the river straight to hell. When you become born again, now you're alive in Christ. Dead to the world. Dead to self. But alive in Christ. Now you're swimming upstream. The world does not agree with you. The world does not like us. But the Bible says even that if we're in love with the world, we're at enmity or at war with God. This isn't about loving people that are not loving them that are lost. We do love people. But we cannot agree with the ways of this world. And we cannot justify the sin, or else we leave the world to its own destruction and to the work of the devil. Galatians 5:16-18. But I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Amen? So listen, I told you the law is good. But I can't keep it. So why not come into Christ who helps me keep it? It's not about me. It's about Him. It's about this exchange. God, I want to live holy. Help me to live holy. And learning to walk with Him in our daily life. Quick to repent. Quick to forgive. Soul. The soul is the animating and vital principle in humans. It is credited with the faculties of thought, which is your mind, your action, which is your will or choice, and your emotion, and often conceived as an immaterial entity. The spiritual nature of humans regarded as immortal, separable from the body at death, and susceptible to happiness or misery in a future state. Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? We have to choose. Genesis 2:7, Jehovah God proceeded to form man out of the dust from the ground and to blow into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man came to be a living soul. Your soul is your personality. It determines your personality, who you are, how you think. And when we decide to align our thinking with God's Word, we become a different sort of soul. Amen? We become Christ-like. Every one of our goals, listen, every one of our goals, yeah, listen, so we want peace in our marriages, we want to be healthy, we want to be able to be at peace with God, all of those things are there. But here's what God is interested in from us. He says, I want my son formed in you. I want people to look at you and see Jesus. And anything short of that is a place we need to look in the mirror and say, oh God, oh God, here I am. I want to look like Jesus. And submit to the process. As Sister Jerry said, you're on the potter's wheel. Put yourself on the potter's wheel, but be real. God already knows. Let's be real with ourselves. Where do I not look like Jesus? And I can tell you this. Look in His Word and see where you're not doing what it says to do. And then say, okay, God, what area do you want to polish up today? Where are we at today, Lord? Where I want some more victory, Lord. I have victory in you. I believe I have victory in Jesus. So, Lord, what do we want to take care of today? And let Him be God in your life. 1 Corinthians 15:45. It is even so written, the first Adam became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam being Jesus. 1 Peter 3:20. In Noah's days, a few people, that is, 8 souls, were carried through the water. Have you ever had people or even thought yourself that God was kind of harsh, destroying everybody on the face of the earth except those 8 people? But if you want to go back and study Genesis 6 and find out what happened there, you're going to find out the whole earth was corrupted. Mixtures of fallen angels and human beings and mixtures of animals and humans all over the earth. And what God did was preserve mankind from total annihilation genetically by those people He put on the boat. And you can thank God for His mercy or we wouldn't even be here. Amen? Everybody who will say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That in your judgment,
you brought mercy.
Thank you for your mercy.
For
sparing
mankind.
So I could live and love you and
spend eternity
with you. Look at the animals. God went on to say, let the waters swarm forth a swarm of living souls. God proceeded to create the great sea monsters and every living soul that moves about, which the waters swarm forth according to their kinds, and every winged flying creature according to its kind. Genesis 1, 20, 21, 24, and 25. Listen, we are the only three-part beings of creation, spirit, soul, and body. Animals. I got four dogs there in my little camper over there. I told my wife about the time we got married we'd never have a dog in the house. But I love my wife. And now I love my dogs. Okay? Because God did something special for her and restore them. But those four dogs all think. They think. You know, they may not, they don't have a spirit that can be saved by God, but they think, pull one's tail, see what they do. They don't like it. I don't pull my dog's tail, but if you did, a dog will bite you, right? He don't like it. When we walked out the door, that little dog loves me the most. She got her dogs that love her the most, but that dog loves me the most. Rah, 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 rah. She's complaining because I'm going out the door. Okay, they think. Elephants think. Porpoises think. Okay? And I guess even an ant will think right before it bites you. That's going to be its last thought, but that's the way it goes. But animals of various kinds have souls and can think. And within that soul, mind, will, and emotions. They have feelings. You see, a dog will pout. Okay? They have feelings. They have the ability to choose. Walk this way, go that way. We call it instinct, but God called them souls. And within their souls, He put some preset programming of things. But humans are the highest class of God's creation, and we are not animals of any kind. And that's the biggest lie. And if you have one semblance of evolution in you and one tiny bit of belief in that, you need to spit that out because it's a lie straight from hell. They can't even prove it scientifically, and the only thing they're really trying to do with that is trying to convince you that you're an animal so one day you can be changed into something that's superhuman. The promise will be superhuman abilities. The problem is that it's going to result in death and hell and the grave. Let the earth put forth living souls according to their kind. And God proceeded to make the wild beast of the earth according to its kind. And the domestic animal according to its kind. And every moving animal of the ground according to its kind. And when a person is born again, you become new in spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As I told you before, we received the promise of the Holy Spirit. It says that one day will be completely and totally new. Did you ever read where Jesus could walk through the wall? Did you ever see where He's walking down the road to Emmaus, and then He goes and eats lunch with these guys, and all of a sudden their eyes are open, and boom, He's gone? Because those new bodies we're going to get are going to be like Jesus. He's the first fruit of many brethren, first of many to come. When we're resurrected, we're going to have human bodies, touchable, feelable, all of that. But there won't be any blood in there because Adam's blood is going to be gone. Because you inherited Adam's blood. That's been the problem. Okay? That blood will be gone. We'll have an incorruptible body. We'll truly have the mind of Christ, but we will not be subject to matter anymore. Either. Because whatever Jesus did in the 40 days after He rose from the grave, we will have those same abilities. We'll think like the Lord. There will be perfection come. We're going to think like Him. Nothing contrary. What a glorious day. Think like Jesus, have a body like Jesus, and then guess what? The war will be over within us. We still have a war going on. But it ain't going to be within this. Thank you, Lord. Behold, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52, 3 and 4. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who has also sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That word earnest means down payment. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Everybody who agrees, say, thank you, Lord. I have been sealed. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. If you have not grieved the Holy Spirit in this room, I'm telling you, you don't want to. You don't want to. He's good, and He loves us. And I pray your relationship with Him so close that you would just hate the thought of grieving Him. Now, I have grieved Him. I grieved Him early on in my walk with Him. And when it happened, I said, I never want to do that again. I never want to do it again. If you go on and look at what it says, and we may even go into that here in a minute, but if you go on and look at what it says after it's grieved not, it's talking about how you speak with your words, how you treat other people. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we fight. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we're ugly. Okay? All of those things do. But there's a price where you can grieve the Holy Spirit and you can feel it relationally with Him. And if you're blocked from that kind of relation, can I tell you, you want to be unblocked? You want to be so close to Him who will show you, listen, if you want to know about Jesus, you need to be friends with the Holy Ghost. If you want to have the revelation of the goodness of the Father, it's the Holy Ghost that's going to draw you and reveal you to the Father. So we need the Holy Spirit, and we need His help. Once we're born again, our spirit is new in the Lord, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and a promise that one day we'll be like Jesus who came and did what Adam failed to do. Jesus is special, and He gets all the glory. This never changes. Our restoration is to the fullness of agreement with Yahweh, spirit, soul, and body. But what are we to do with our soul? The Lord has given us this free will to choose, Deuteronomy 27:28, which I showed you last night. He then had Moses tell the people the following. We'll say it again. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. In order to stay in agreement with God, we must renew our minds. There's a book over there by Derek Prince called Blessings and Curses. I recommend it to anybody that's not read it. If you don't have the fullness of this understanding that man was a marvelous teacher, and that book will help you in understanding, because it's truly nothing new under the sun. Nothing. There's nothing new. Same thing He put before Israel, put before us today. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds. Ephesians 4:22-23. You can see the scriptures there if you want to write them. I'm just going to read them out now. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden in Christ with God, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its Creator. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Who's the source of wisdom? It's the Father. James 1:5. You need to know that. If you want to know how to do something you don't know, ask Him. Listen. I'm not a plumber, and He's taught me to plumb. I'm not a carpenter, and He's taught me to carpenter. I'm not an electrician, and I can do electrical work. Okay? I've remodeled the whole house. I'm not a floor layer, but I've laid floors. And the house looks very nice. But who gave me the wisdom to do it? I asked the Father, and He helped me. He taught me. I gained a little knowledge. Then He gave me understanding. And He gave me wisdom. And sometimes things just fall into place, and I can't even figure out how it happens. Because it just doesn't. Material and everything else. The renewing of the mind is to fill it with what God says in His Word, so that the Word does dwell in richly in you. Now you can walk and act upon it and live the great life that God has made available to you. Without renewing our minds, we're not going to enjoy our relationship, our rights, and privileges as sons and daughters of God. God said that we are justified, that we are sanctified, that we are redeemed. God said we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. God said He'll supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God said He wished that above all things we may prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. All these tremendous truths of the Word have no effect in our lives because we cannot apply them until we first renew our minds to what the Word declares. The statements are eternally true, but they will not become a reality to us until we renew our mind. Some of us have been held back in that by religious teaching that has nothing to do with the Word of God. Some of us have been held back in that by what we've been taught that is so contrary to the Word of God. Listen, here's something that I learned. I take the Bible. Everybody who has a Bible, hold it up. Hold it up to the Lord. Lord,
Lord,
I believe this.
I believe this.
Every part of it.
Every part of it.
Completely.
Completely.
But Lord,
where I don't understand,
I'm asking you,
to teach me what it means.
Teach me what it means. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Now, if that's your attitude, there's no limit. But if your attitude is, I'm not believing this till I understand it, you're stuck. You're stuck. You're going nowhere. Because that's insolent, arrogant. Huh? How are you going to get a blessing with an attitude like that? The greatest blessing you have in this life is to understand what God's Word means. How to apply it in your life. Everything changes. So why not just hold it up and say, listen, I know people, listen, I know I've seen people with amazing talents. Amazing things they can do. And they've done it. And they don't even know God's helped them, but He did because He put some gift in them when they were born with it. Listen, the giftings you get, that you get from God, that you inherit, maybe abilities to do things, you didn't make one of those choices. It was a gift. You need to be thankful for that gift. Amen? And then ask God how to help you do the things you're not gifted to do. And the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Do you believe that? What does all mean? Now, I don't recommend you go try to fly an airplane. You know, there's some limits. But I will tell you this. If you happen to be in an airplane, the pilot died. Rather than die, get in the seat and call on God and put the headphones on and ask what to do. You'd probably land a plane. Bible said, Jesus, listen, here's what Jesus said. He said, see this little child? You're not going to come into the kingdom unless you come as that little child. Now, what does a little child do? They depend on their daddy, on their parents for everything. Here I am, daddy. Are we so grown and full of so much wisdom and knowledge that we can't just simply say, God, I need help with this, and this is everything? Because that's what a child would do. How much of your life are you holding Him off? We have to learn how to win the battle between our senses, our natural thoughts, and the Word of God. It's been well said there's a three-man committee on which you are the judge. One is voting against the victorious life. That one is the knowledge gained by the five senses. Another one is voting for your victorious life. That is God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each vote is a tie. Here's what God says. Even though it's completely true. And here's what the enemy says. And it's a lie. But you cast the deciding vote for your life. What are you going to believe? Whichever way you vote makes that decision. So your vote does have value. You as judge can vote on the side of the five senses, your natural thoughts and fears. You do this every time you agree with circumstances that are not right according to God's Word. Listen, there are some things that the reality is they're here. We're not going to go denying that they're not here, but we are going to deny their right to be here. And we're going to set about expelling the enemy. We're going to set about dethroning him. And we're going to set about smashing the lies with the truth of the Word of God. Thereby establishes God's government. The government of the living God. What government do you want to be under? The government of the enemy or the government of the Lord? You vote. Thank you, Father. On the other hand, you as a judge can vote on the side of the Word. You do this every time you renew your mind to that Word. When you examine the evidence, continue to choose and speak what God says until things change. Listen. If you're married and you got a spouse, you have a problem. The problem is they're not you. And you're not there. God put it together. It's a glorious thing. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you, I've often said sometimes marriage is God's way of letting you know what kind of Christian you are. Okay? Because this closest person to you, the one you're very closest to, is not going to agree with you on everything. And you're going to have to learn to die. And you're going to have to learn to love them when they don't agree with you. And that love's a commitment. It's not based on your feelings. It's not bad. Listen, because you're going to have days that are glorious and you're going to have days that are not so glorious. But you're going to have to decide that you're going to love your spouse. And you're going to have to let God change you. But your words, what are you saying? Are you continually complaining? Are you speaking some life into your situation? It's not magic. It's agreeing with God. So if I agree with God, then what I'm doing is giving him room to operate. Because he's not a violator of human will. If you want to call your spouse a blah, 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 do you just agree with the devil? Or anybody else? Let's just take that and just explain. Anybody else? What are you saying about him? When our minds are renewed, we submit by our free choice to our spirits who submit to the Holy Spirit. We walk in the newness of life. Without renewing, we walk in death. Romans 6:16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey his servants, you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Now listen, some of your Bible translations have cut this scripture in half. And you'll hear everybody in the world quote, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ. But then it goes on to say, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you walk after the flesh, you're going to feel condemned. No way around it. One of the epistles of John, and I'm sorry I don't remember which one, but it basically says if your heart doesn't condemn you, ask God anything and you'll receive it. It's going to line up with His Word. If your heart is right with God, you're going to ask Him for things that are within His will anyway. But it says your heart can be condemned. Well, that's not a contradiction, because right there it says if you walk not after the flesh. But if you're going to choose to fornicate, if you're going to choose to blow your temper every day, if you're going to choose to get drunk, if you're going to choose to do sorcery with the drug use and all, if you keep choosing that, you're never going to be at peace. You're going to feel condemned. And the condemnation is from the devil. And the Holy Spirit will try to convict you so you don't. He's not telling you you're a worm in the dirt. The Holy Spirit's saying, come up here. Let me help you. Let's get out of this. But the devil's heaping the condemnation on you. We've got to walk with the Lord to have peace. Body. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells within you? Listen, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him. Who? We're not taught that. You know, it's just glossed over. But let me tell you something. God holds the Holy Spirit. The Father holds the Holy Spirit precious. If we go defiling the temple, bad stuff happens. You want to see the proof? Look what happens with sexual sin. Is AIDS a destruction? Is it? God is merciful. He'll forgive anybody that'll repent for anything. But the wages of sin is death. It comes in many forms. If we defile the temple, we're going to be destroyed. I spoke about eating donuts over there. Okay, well, donuts, the Bible doesn't say donuts is sin, but I'm telling you, if it's killing you, you're sowing to death.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.